Hi, this is Chuck Scott from Cool Tea, and welcome to this Go Boardroom interview. Today we talk with Suhair Sudan from Sudan.com. In addition to his leading strategic management consultancy, Suhair is also the author of the critically acclaimed workshop series entitled Practical Tools for Strategic Marketing, the Essential Workshop for Technology Marketers. In this Go Boardroom interview, we touch on how his workshops help you to become an active participant in the marketing strategy, development, and deployment in your company, what it means to be market ready for 2006, the keys to developing rapid consensus with planned stakeholders, what marketing means today in measuring marketing ROI, how to uncover and articulate your brand's value. And then Suhair shares two case studies of success. Bravo, Suhair, and here we go.
There's two things that jumped out at me. Number one, some of the quotes, like when one of the gentlemen says, hey, I was able to go home and build rapid consensus. I'm like, wow, that's powerful. And then the other thing that jumped out at me were the modules. For instance, like the last one I thought was interesting, deploying breakthrough unconventional marketing strategies. So
I agree with you. I have phenomenal quotes, and they're not from Josh Moos without a name or without a title. I mean, these are significant companies. They are, as you could see, they're in leadership positions. So this program that I'm doing here is 2 days in length, and as you could see from the quotes in here, there is no question this is an extremely high-value program. If it was not, Verizon would not have had me since 1998 do 22 programs for them, and I'm doing 5 more before the year ends.
Do you get into the technology areas? Are you mostly people processes when you're talking about objectives and, you know, how are we going to accomplish our plans? I mean, how far do you 360? I say this because I've heard that recently in mergers and acquisitions, people are looking at the IT structures, whereas before they didn't really think about it, and now they're like...
I don't get into that. I don't get so much into culture of M&A. I mean, all of these are topics that merit their own in-depth, you know, 2-3 day type programs. I'm more into just how do you develop the plan? What is the structure for it? What are some tools? What are some techniques? What are some models that you could use? How do you develop buy-in into the plan? If you are to participate in a planning project, what are your roles and responsibilities? If you're to lead one, what are some things you should be doing as a leader? So you walk out with tools, ideas, concepts, models, ammunition that you could use to become an active participant, the marketing strategy, development, and deployment in your company.
What does it mean to be marketing ready for 2006?
Well, the thought with that is that many companies, especially in the technology field, are too focused on the gee whiz device or technology that they have developed, and they have not thought through how to introduce it to the marketplace, how to position it in the marketplace, how to turn the features that they have into benefits that customers could relate to. And right now is a perfect time, the fourth quarter of the year. This should be done on an ongoing basis, but the fourth quarter is a critical time that if you're not ready to market your products and you don't have a marketing plan that's strategic in nature to approach your market in 2006, this is the perfect time to do it.
What are the keys to building rapid consensus? How does that happen?
Well, the major key in developing consensus is the involvement of the people who have a stake in the deployment of the plan in the planning process. When you go about developing a plan, you have to look at who are the people that are key players in the deployment of the plan. Probably people in marketing, marketing communications, sales, services, support, pricing, all along the marketing mix. Now, if these people are going to be responsible for the deployment of the plan, you need to involve them in its creation. And when you do it, two things happen. One is the buy-in that you just, you know, the core of your question. And the second part is that the plan would be a better one because of their input. They know their business, their part of the business, better than the person who's in charge, if you will, of the development of the marketing strategy and marketing plan does. So by getting them involved in the planning process, two things happen. Number one, you wind up with a better plan. And number two, there's built-in buy-in because they're the ones that developed it. You know, one other side benefit by doing it with the involvement of the teams and on a team basis is that the plan winds up being integrated.
What does marketing mean to you? And I asked this question because I was talking with someone else the other day, and he was saying there should be no concept of integrated marketing. That's an oxymoron, that it's all marketing. And he was talking about training, and he said, hey, look at the coffee shop. He said, these people have, minimum wage kind of people behind the counter, but they're always happy because they invest in training. Isn't training a part of marketing? And I thought, wow, interesting. And he was saying that any ad agency that's going for Clio awards or really into all this fluffy creative is really not marketing at all. That marketing is about making sales. And I'm just sort of, you know, wondering, I mean, our big topic is marketing madness. And I meant that on two levels. One is, oh, the crazy things that people are doing that they should stop doing. And also the genius of people that are doing it right. And I'm just sort of wondering if you can drop back high level, you know, what is marketing today?
Well, it's a very, very valid question. And in fact, one of the observations that you'll make is that if you ask a good number of people, let's say 10 or 20, what does marketing do, you're going to wind up with as many different answers as the number of people that you have asked. And that's one of the unique things about marketing. There's no question what accounting does. There's no question what sales does. There's no question what information technology does. But marketing, by its very nature, seems to be defying definition. In fact, you know, there's an ad that Tivoli has a couple of years back that says, mission, keep sales selling, accounting counting, IT doing information systems, and marketing doing whatever it does. Which is, you know, a catchy type of quotation, but it makes you think, what the heck does marketing do?
Yeah.
Now, there are two schools of thought on what marketing does out there, and one of them is a minimalist view, if you will, and there are shades in between.
Sure.
The minimalist view is the one that kind of compares or equates marketing with Marcon. And in many companies, unfortunately, marketing has degenerated or has been downsized, if you will, to become Marcon, how to get the word out. And then you have, on the other extreme, a view, the maximalist view, if you will, that says marketing is the glue that keeps the company focused on the customer. Marketing is the one that sets the strategy for the business of how it's going to approach the market, what products you need to be producing, how you should be selling them, how you should be pricing them, how you should be communicating them and positioning them in the marketplace, what services you need to have around them, what kind of support you need to be having, what kind of dress and smile those people behind the counter, at the example that you shared with me in the question,
mm-hmm.
need to be having, what kind of behavior, what kind of aura, what kind of branding we need to have with it. And when you take that broad definition, the more accurate question probably should be, not what does marketing do, but what does marketing not do? And in cases like that, you could argue that the CEO's job is also the job of the chief marketing officer, or the chief marketing officer is very, very close to the CEO and belongs right there at his right-hand side in the board meeting. So you could see those different views, and, you know, I respect people that, you know, take one view, but then we have to be very clear on it. I call that small M marketing. But the approach that I preach in my seminars is capital M marketing, which is a lot more expensive.
When we then fast forward into ROIs, how do we measure the successes of the big M marketing?
Well, that's the whole topic all by itself.
Okay.
I teach a course on measuring and maximizing ROI separately. And in fact, it's a very, very important issue because increasingly marketing is being asked to justify itself, its expenditures, if you will. It's always asking for money. On the other side, you have finance side of the company that's dishing out the money. And the ROI is where those two intersect. So for marketing to be able to get the funding that it needs to be able to speak in terms of the investment that's required for marketing and the return on that investment, so it's credible on the finance side of the house. When you're talking about doing marketing ROI, you need to have a view that kind of takes the marketing process all the way from doing things to counting the results of the things that you did to seeing what kind of impact you've had in the marketplace, both in terms of awareness and favorability, to measuring the number of calls that you get as a result of your marketing campaign, to measuring how many, the impact it had on sales, and then finally the lifetime customer value. So there are a number of steps of progression of things that you could measure and techniques for getting that done. You know, some are output measures and some are outcome measures.
Uncovering and articulating your brand's unique value. What goes into finding our brand's value and adding volume to that?
The thing that you want to do here is kind of see what positioning you have in the marketplace. And the positioning could vary segment by segment along dimensions that are meaningful to that particular segment. And there are techniques for doing that. Identifying, as an example, this step number one, what matters for that segment. Secondly, getting yourself rated by the customer as to where do you stand in comparison with competition along those dimensions that matter a lot for that particular segment. And then picking the areas where you are standing out favorably, and hopefully these are ones that also carry a lot of importance with the client, not just favorability, but this is an important item in our consideration, and then creating unique selling propositions and making that the foundation for your brand development, if you will. Now, sometimes you go through this exercise and you find out that you are really not in good shape there, okay? And that's where it's time to go back to the drawing board and say, well, how could we develop a strength in an area that matters for that segment? And essentially what you're trying to do there is change your positioning.
Do you have a favorite story of a case where you said, hey, Chuck, they came into my world and they were here at point A, and by the time we got done, they migrated to this point B? Is there anybody that stands out more so than others?
Well, there are a lot of stories. One of them was a case where a company that does massive information processes that wind up serving students who are entering colleges, both in terms of testing them and providing their standing, the scores for colleges, testing them in high school. And secondly, in terms of processing financial aid applications for college funding. And the firm wanted to establish its presence in a bigger way in the post-secondary education market. So we put together a team from the firm that I led over a number of meetings to analyze what could we do to improve our presence in the post-secondary education market. And going through one of the models that we discussed in the program, we discovered that our strategy or our goal of entering the post-secondary market in a bigger way actually should be a secondary goal for us, not a primary one. We discovered that our core competence is not so much in the post-secondary education market because people in the universities did not recognize our brand name. But where we had tremendous strength was in the area of large-scale information capture, processing, management, and reporting. And when you discover that that is what your core competence is, then you say, well, who are the people that could use this? For example, gun registration in the United States, which is another massive information capture, processing, management, and reporting. Low-income housing is an example. U.S. Census is a prime example of this. Migrant student tracking is an example. There are tens of thousands of school-age children that travel with their parents in the cabs of trucks, and sometimes they spend a couple of weeks studying in Cincinnati, Ohio, and a couple of weeks studying in New Jersey. And tracking those, there's reporting that's needed on it. So by a careful analysis of who we are, it affected what our marketing strategy should be and what we should be trying to sell and to whom.
That's fascinating.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one example.
Yeah.
Another one, which is a very interesting case that carries through different elements of the program, is the case of a firm that invented a revolutionary retractable syringe, where at the end of an injection, the needle retracts from the syringe, so there's absolutely no chance of winding up with an accidental needle stick, which is a huge issue in the industry for obvious reasons.
Yes.
The transmission of diseases and everything that's associated with them. So, you know, it's literally a wow product. Anybody that sees it just is amazed at it. They go, wow, and, you know, a few of the questions that pop up is, how do I invest in this company? And the second one is, what does it cost? Well, the product cost is high, but when you throw in the cost reduction, if you're the savings from eliminating accidental needle sticks, actually it turns out to be cheaper than the cheaper syringe, if you throw in the cost of the risk of the accidental needle stick. Okay, so you think that that firm would be very, very successful in marketing. Well, the realities of the marketplace were such where it had a very difficult time entering the market successfully for a variety of reasons that we discussed in the program.
Well, I can totally appreciate that. I mean, on one level, hospital administrators don't get rewarded for spending more money on gear. Their total cost is not a part of their picture.
You know that nurses are the ones that are the primary users of syringes, yet nurses don't make the buying decision. People that do buy things for hospitals are the ones that are in charge of purchasing. So you go call on them, and they love the product, but when they discover that it costs more, they say, you know, I love it, but if I use your product, I'm going to run out of syringe budget by, you know, the middle of February. And then I have to shut the hospital down. So you say, well, how about accidental needle sticks? They say, yeah, it's a major issue, but not my problem. I don't have a budget for accidental needle sticks. The chief, you go to the hospital administrator, he does have concerns about accidental needle sticks, but then he also is very impressed with the product, but says, we don't buy individually. We are part of a GPO, a group purchasing organization of, you know, 1,100 wow. hospitals or so. And, you know, go sell them. If you sell them, then you're on our list and we will buy from you.
We can buy.
You go try to sell those people and you find out that, guess what? You know, the major competitor just signed with them a 7-year exclusive deal, and they tell you, come back and see us in 7 years.
Wow.
So you see that something that you would think should be a great seller, you're almost locked out of the market, and you could take all of your marketing textbooks and toss them and make a bonfire out of them, because this is not traditional marketing. This is guerrilla. This is survival-type marketing.
So what'd you do?
Well, there are things to do, things unorthodox things to do. This is part of the unorthodox marketing element in the program. You go back and say, who are the major beneficiaries? Nurses, right?
Right.
The people who do most of the injections in the country. Well, they're not part of the buying decision individually, but collectively they are major influencers. So if you get the nurses' union behind you, and if you get nurses demonstrating in front of San Francisco General Hospital on national TV in the evening, carrying placards saying, we don't want to get stuck anymore, and San Francisco in particular because of the higher risk in that area, all of a sudden you have a voice.
Yeah, you have pull strategy.
Yeah, and what do? You get yourself on 60 Minutes and expose the fact that you're being locked out of the market. And that might take a couple of years before you have, you know, an audience on 60 Minutes, but you do it. You get California state legislature to pass a law that says we're going to buy the safest syringe regardless of cost, and nobody's going to disallow us from buying them because of some GPO-type rule. You lobby Congress. You do a whole bunch of things that are unorthodox in nature to be able to break into the market.
And sort of in a closing concept, if there's one thing that you want to drive home when people say, gee, practical tools for strategic marketing, the essential workshop for technology marketers, what is the one thing that if you said if they only got this, that would be the sort of the high-level piece that resonate with?
I would say if there is one concept is that they would be, if you're looking for a catch-all quote, think of it as a 2-day MBA in marketing that you apply to your business. In reality, what they do is they learn the process, the tools, techniques, models to use to develop a strategic marketing plan that's clear, and it's important that it be clear, that's distinctive, meaning different than others, so you're not competing on price, but rather competing on uniqueness. That's integrated. That integrated meaning the marketing, small M marketing, the sales strategy, the distribution strategy, the pricing strategy, the services strategy, the port strategy are all in sync with one another. And that has buy-in throughout the organization. So you'll go back to the office with the tools to do this and with a clear plan of how to get the job done.
Thank you for listening to this Go Boardroom interview, and we hope you enjoyed it. Note, you're free to make copies and share this audio on a non-commercial basis with your family and friends, and they can do the same. While this work is copyrighted, it is also released per the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 2.5 license. For more information about licensing rights, please see goboardroom.com/share. And remember, goboardroom.com for business networking power luncheons. Brought to you by Cool Tea, a mixed brew of business networking. I'm Chuck Scott, and thanks for listening.